No problem, no problem, man. Hey, the Lakers are out. The Clippers are out. Denver's almost out. And Ant-Man is definitely for real. This is the Profanity Nation podcast. Voice the professional fan. Don't go anywhere.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where we are the voice of the professional fan. Normally the voice of the professional Lakers fan, but we all know the Lakers are out. But now the Clippers are out as well, and we've got a guest here today. What does it say? It says 3-6, Ron Notch. Okay.
LeBron is not the GOAT.
LeBron is not the GOAT. Oh, wow. I couldn't even read that. Okay. As you see that, where's that available?
Hey, you know, this is the old shirt. This is when it was 3-6. Now
He's
4-6.
So yeah. You've been a long time hater.
I mean, I'm just. It still
he's
like
been a long time. Thing. He has. He literally has vintage LeBron hate shirts.
I've never seen vintage hate shirts.
Yeah, that's, right? That's pretty that's cool. Different. I mean. That's deep right there, Money Mike.
I mean.
As always, joined by my co-host, Money Mike, on the right. Money Mike, apparently you have statements to make. I think you're doing okay, right? I mean, the Lakers, set in.
Look, I'm okay. I mean, you know, it's been a week. Not surprising at all about what happened. I mean, LeBron James is. That he has gotten more coaches fired than he got in rings. So, I mean, I think he's a GOAT in that, you know. And bottom line, like, we're going to talk about it. You know who he wants to come down the hall.
All right.
Yeah.
Here we go. And special guest. This is perfect because we've got Lakers, we've got Clippers, we've got everyone. Beav in the house. Leave it to Beav. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man? It's good to be back. You know, I was on here when you was out. Now, you know what I mean? So it's good to be back with y'all and just talk sports. You know, I'm not a Laker fan, but damn it, I'm gonna keep it honest all time.
We want to talk sports now. We don't want to. Hey,
you know what? But now we're all in the same pile of junk and oldness.
We don't want to talk. You know, the Clippers and
because since we both eliminated, we wearing this big shirt that says we got to get along.
Yeah, right. Because we might as well.
We ain't can't cool.
Yeah,
we all get along. Yeah.
Hey,
we've all been demoted.
For the record, though, I must say this. You know, I must say the biggest benefit of the Lakers and the Clippers being eliminated from the playoffs is that Crypto Arena is free and open for the
Sparks.
Los Angeles Sparks to come over to Crypto.
Yeah.
The Fever, they just announced today, if you guys haven't known,
yesterday.
Tickets go on sale on the 9th, and you can get you be able to go see
Caitlin
Clark. Play at Crypto Arena for the against the Sparks.
Yeah, that's huge. Of course, we cover the Sparks with LA Sparks Weekly, and you, of course, on Full Clip and such. So that is good news for the Sparks. So we'll definitely get there. Let's stay at home with some NBA stuff here, guys. Clippers. I'm gonna go with this. Clippers, Lakers. Okay, this is how we're gonna do it. And I'm a Laker fan, but I'm just gonna play in the middle right now. Both in the same boat. Okay, I watched the game the other night, game 2, Denver, Minnesota. I was the one who said that the story was yet to be told, the final chapter for Darvin Ham. And what was dependent was how well Denver did or didn't do in the rest of the playoffs. If Denver went and swept their whole way through, then Darvin Ham didn't look so bad. He was just one of the casualties. But if Denver went forward and struggled and somebody broke the code, then Darvin Ham would be exposed as well as the team. That's exactly what's happened.
I disagree with that.
Okay, right. Minnesota's up 2-0. Okay. Mm-hmm. In that game two, I came away with, I'll say, three that I feel are factual right now. Number one, In my mind, the Lakers went from middle-aged, roughly 30, 38 years old, to about 80 years old. Okay, they could not, would never keep up with a Minnesota at full speed playing what they're doing. They've elevated their game in the playoffs. They can't keep up. The Clippers, the same exact. Okay, so they're in the same boat. I can't wait that. They're both, they just looked a lot older. A lot of teams looked a lot older with what Minnesota's doing. The next one was that Coach Malone, he schemed everything for the Lakers. And once he beat the Lakers, he was out of cards. He has no, he had no clue what to do with the Timberwolves. And all last season, he was screaming that the Lakers, oh, we're in the Lakers' head. Why are y'all talking about? Dude, the Lakers have been rent-free in your skull for years. And now it's showing because everything you planned was for the Lakers. And now Minnesota's ripping you apart. Money Mike, what do you say?
Look, I'm going to tell you guys right now, and I know what I'm about to say is not going to make a lot of sense to people unless you really, really like know basketball.
Okay. Right?
But I grew up in the 90s, and I was never a Bulls fan.
Generation X.
Right? I never was a Bulls fan. But there was a player named Michael Jordan that took over the league. And you was mesmerized what he was able to do to teams, right? Kobe was a close second to what when he was in his prime, what he's able to do to teams. Listen, this generation, Anthony Edwards is doing right now is fascinating. He's fascinating the Kevin Durant's and all these superstars by what he's doing.
He's making them contemplate retirement.
Listen, Anthony Edwards is this generation's Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. I've never seen a player be this dominant
since those
where he is literally unguardable, can get every spot he get and wants to go. He impacts the game in every single way.
Killer instinct.
What we're witnessing here is something different, and it only comes around in a few generations. We've been saying, Anthony Edwards.
Stat Pat's been a big fan.
We've been talking about it, but what he's doing right now.
In the playoffs,
he's in a zone right now that it doesn't matter it doesn't matter.
No.
He's beating everybody.
Yep.
No, on his own, he's putting the team on the back, and it doesn't matter.
And they're following suit. They've got no problem with it.
Cat is not a joke. You know what I mean? Yep. He has a good supporting cast. But what Anthony Edwards is doing, he's playing at a level where he's unstoppable right now. And I don't see that he's starting.
First, I'm going to ask you a quick question. You like Anthony Edwards?
No, I love Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
I used to live in Minnesota.
Is Ant-Man and Karl-Anthony Towns the next, kind of Kobe Shaq?
No.
Okay.
No. It's just two different personalities. Now, I will say this. Looking at Cat this year with Anthony Edwards versus when he's with Jimmy, you could tell that, you know, Anthony Edwards being younger, a little bit more funner, not as serious, that rocks with Cat more than when Jimmy was there. Jimmy was a different type of leader that was more of in your face and on your ass. So you could tell that type of leadership too. But just looking at the landscape of the league overall, Ant-Man is that type of beast. And I'm just going to be honest. The reason why Denver is really losing is because now if you look at every team, right, they have bigs, they got bigs. But this team here legit has – Rudy Gobert, Carl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid, and Kyle Anderson. That's four people to control Jokic.
And throw 24 fouls.
I can do whatever I want to control the paint. Now, all I got to do is neutralize Murray, and I have that in McDaniels. I could do that with Ant, who's 22 years old. All my wings is long. They don't got to be super tall, but they wingspan is long, and they're agitators. JT McDaniels only got to score over 5 points, but he got 6 fouls. Use them. And we're noticing they playing that lockdown defense because once you lock down Murray and Jokic, who else on that team going to take off? Michael Porter Jr. not going to do nothing. Caldwell Pope.
The others, well, Gordon even has been minimized a little bit, but the others will not kill you.
They're not going to kill you. Yeah. If I can control the two-headed monster, that's it. Mm-hmm. But if you look at Minnesota, you can't control. He's 22 years old.
But what you're saying is simply that their stable of bigs, four bigs they can throw, is the formula to beat Denver.
It is.
So it's not the play necessarily of Edwards. It's you can replicate that with four bigs, you believe, on other teams?
It depends on what time. I'm not saying every big is not suitable for this, right? Okay.
But, I mean, if you go to the 2020 Lakers, you had Davis, you had McGee, you had Howard. So you had this stable of bigs.
That could definitely been good, but something that's unique, right? Like I said, you had four of them to work with. If you name those two, you got two that was kind of congested. If you look at the formula that the Minnesota have, right, Karl Anthony Towns can step out to the three. Naz Reid can step out to the three. Kyle Anders can step out. So you're bringing him out, which is making the lane open for Anthony to do his work. So
it's great coaching.
I mean, are we ignoring his play, though?
No. His play is good.
I get what you're saying.
His play is, but I want to do – like, I feel like his play is the low-hanging fruit, right, or the top of the surface. Let's get really deep into the madness of the Timberwolves, which really they're big. The first – that's why they brought Rudy there to create havoc, right?
Right.
And it's finally clicking. Like, I'm not saying Rudy's the GOAT, but that formula of bigs there is finally creating havoc amongst the league.
You know, look, I agree with that. They definitely have the supporting cast on there is amazing.
Crazy.
You know, and they definitely are the ones that – do all the dirty work, but then when you have that, when, like you said, you're able to maintain Jokic with everything that you said, and neutralize Porter, KCP, Murray, mm-hmm. And then you have Ant-Man just playing on
Roman.
A different level.
Roman,
like he literally is on he's in a different stratosphere. That's what gives. What, 20-point blowouts?
Think about this, right?
Make it look easy.
Think about this. If this lineup is on the floor, how the hell Jokic can actually stand there and defend, right? The whole team is spread out. If I put Karl Anthony Towns and Naz Reid in the game, and I tell both of them go stay in the corner, right. The bigs got to go out now. Now you got to see on Denver who's really going to defend. And one of their best defenders, even though I'm just going to throw Bruce Brown.
Yeah.
They thought he wasn't valuable. He could have been one of those defenders to lock in on Ant and being on his ass all game long. And again, Denver lost players. Like you thought they was
can hang.
Big ass difference, right? They're younger, which is cool, but it's too young. They're not ready. That bench is not even close.
Yeah. But and look, I think they could probably sweep. Sweep the Nuggets. And I think they possibly, because I'm not afraid of OKC. I mean, Shea's good over there.
Don't talk about Shea. I'm a big Shea fan.
And I'm a Shea fan, too.
That's beautiful. The future of the league is in good hands. I have a question for you really quick. This is kind of on me. Who, if you could think in the past of coaches, maybe currently aren't coaching, which coach out there would be just drooling to coach this Minnesota Timberwolves team? Oh my God! And what he could do with this Timberwolves team, Jackson.
I was about to say definitely Phil. Yeah.
Could you imagine Phil taking Ant-Man, Karl Anthony Towns, the bigs running the triangle?
Man, yeah, it would be ridiculous.
Oh shit! It'll be Sweep City. It'll be chaotic.
You imagine with that knowledge if he they need to bring him over just like Jerry West as a consultant. For the Clippers, the Timberwolves need to say, hey, Phil.
The Clippers just don't
But do they really need that, though?
Well, we'll see what happens this year, but, I'm just sitting here going, he must be watching this.
I'm
going
to tell you what I really need. I need the Celtics to get out the damn playoffs right now.
That
right?
ain't happening, dog.
They just won.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, hey.
He won yesterday, so.
Look, somebody, please. I don't care who it is, what team it is. I really don't want y'all to make it to the championship finals.
I got a team that might do it
because that's really stressful, and I don't want to have to deal with that stress. We got to get the Clippers.
Would like to see Minnesota.
I want to see this team do it. Go New York, go New York, go!
Yeah,
hey, I definitely want to see.
They
don't need Randall because they got that three headed Villa. Was it Villanueva?
Yeah.
Villanova.
Brunson.
Hart, Brunson, and Dante. That's
Josh Hart, former Laker, can he keep it up?
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Can he keep it up?
Well, look, one thing we can say about the Lakers scouting crew, is they know who out the scout. Mm-hmm.
Y'all fired him. Handy. He gone. That was a scout. I man. Know, he probably was putting a bug in the ear.
No. Okay. It's Bus.
So we need to look.
Handy's developed. And by the way, it's standard protocol for everyone on the coaching staff.
No, he was, not
from
in
what
this
I
way,
understand,
though.
He was fired the same way when Vogel left. And no. then he was invited back. Invited back by Darvin Ham. That is my understanding. That is, it's how it goes. The coaching staff picks, the coach picks their coaching staff, from what I understand.
And he is like born that.
No, so first
is
of all,
Laker
okay.
blood.
So it's one thing for you to be an assistant coach under a head coach, and a head coach gets fired.
Yes.
Which means me as an assistant coach or the head coach, I don't know what my future is or what's going to happen to me. Because the person I was working for just got fired. It's another thing for the Lakers to say, okay, we're firing you and all y'all underneath at the same time.
Did they fire the
they
athletic?
Fired the
did they
whole
fire the,
coaching staff.
Did they fire the medic staff? Did they fire?
They fired the whole coaching staff.
Okay.
So now, can Phil Handy be called back by somebody else? Yeah, but my question is, did the Lakers put him on a non-rehirable list?
No.
You know what I mean?
No, like, they actually say, yeah, one more year left on his contract, mm-hmm. so he can come back under a whole brand new contract since he was fired. So instead of doing an extension or anything, mm-hmm. he can get signed.
Yeah,
a
but
new contract.
But again, though, you kind of already see to me is
and he has the choice.
But you're saying, something extra to me. I feel like they're doing something extra now. And it, look.
I just think it sounds that way. I don't believe it's any different. I think it was business as
look,
normal.
I know. Here's the thing. This is the reason why it ain't business as normal. We all know the reason why it ain't business as normal. It's because of LeBron James. Like, we know that Redick is over here. He didn't sign this deal. Redick wants to get in coaching. You know, he's over there poaching, you know, your boy Tyronn Lue. They come over there. Rumors are saying that they are
conspiring.
No,
Ty Lue is not coming. You want to know
heavily,
why?
He's stay.
You already lowballed him. You lowballed him on a 4-year deal. Why would I go back to
him? Why would you? Well, besides that, why would Ty Lue say, "Oh yeah, let me leave the Clippers who have stuck with me with the Lakers who change coaches every year and a half in 2 years. I would be looking for a job in 2 years.
I mean, so here's my question though. Does LeBron James ever take any slack for anything that he's done?
Yes, he does.
Every
Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. when the Profanity Nation comes out, he takes slack from you and everyone else. So, yes, he takes slack.
Well, I'm just wondering, though, because,
somebody made that shirt and you paid for it.
Yeah, I sure did.
He takes slack. Now, it could have been him who made the shirt, right? He's like, I'm going to make money either way. Love me or hate me, I'm making money.
So it's like Nick and Rick, you know, we're going to get you off.
We'll get you sharded and we'll help you get off.
Nick and Rick to get off of it.
Exactly. It's smart. You know, whatever.
But hey, I'm just saying, though, like, I think that there has to be some form of accountability on every level.
And what does that mean? What does that look like to you?
I mean, that's my question, because I never feel like he takes accountability to why they lost. You know,
I just want to hear it from him.
Look, I think if I'm owner of a company, right, and everybody wants to say, oh my God, that company, ABC company, is doing really great, I'm going to put my chest out. If somebody has a complaint about ABC company, you know, I can't go and blame my assistant man, president or my treasurer or whatever. I have to be able to take that slack as well. So I have to be able to take the good with the bad. I just want him to equally be able to do that. Like, I want you to take the praise, dog. Hey, you know, you got your points. You got us the tournament, you know, all the good things that you got us, thank you very much. But then when something goes wrong, you have to take some of that too. I think that's only fair that we have equal criticism with equal praise.
Okay.
You know,
would that like if he came out and took the you know, I could have managed the end of the game better, I could have done this, would that, but kept making the same mistakes, would that, like he does, would that make it better for you or even more frustrating?
I would appreciate that, because okay. when you got AD going around saying, well, we don't know what we're doing, like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, what do you mean you don't know what you're doing? So, I mean, you went through a whole season, AD. You've been going through all these practices, and you don't know what you've been doing. You've literally been for the last, 2 years with Darvin Ham, been doing the same practice.
You don't know what you're doing.
And you don't know what you're doing in the playoffs? So you went through two A2 game seasons, and you don't know what you're doing.
That's why I said at the end of the day, it has to come down to some of these players taking the gripe of what the hell going on.
Right.
It's no way in hell, like you said, two years of being under Darvin Ham, now you don't know what the hell was going on. You didn't say that when you won the in-season tournament. You didn't say that the year before. But all of a sudden, when all hell break loose, you want to throw that coach under the bus. No, your sorry ass needs to take accountability. Some of y'all players, when y'all's running these whack-ass formations or when y'all give LeBron and everybody standing there on the court looking like a fucking needle in a haystack, right? Y'all need to figure out what's going on within you. Because LeBron is getting old. He can't keep running his ship into the ground. He literally runs the ship in the ground. Yeah.
I think,
and he's done it to every team except for Miami because Pat Riley wouldn't
love him. Riley. Oh, Pat, you know what? Let's go ahead. You guys, later today, you're going to see an episode of The Breaks. It's great with Beav. So be sure to stick around 3 p.m. today on Infinity TV to come. Go ahead and a little bit about what Riley was saying to his superstars and players. Go ahead.
So Pat Riley, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. Pat Riley basically. He had his exit interview, and he was talking about the players and stuff. And it was, Jimmy came out during the Celtics game. He was talking smack and shit like that, and just talking smack in general, right? Pat Riley basically told Jimmy Butler to shut the fuck up. I'm being really blunt about it. Due to the simple fact, he said, dog, if you're not playing, you shouldn't be talking. Tyler Herro only played 40 games. He need to probably change his nutrition because he's not playing a full season, right? He said he liked what he's seen with Bam and stuff like that. But when it comes to the Miami Heat culture, he wants players that's going to be available for 82 games. He doesn't want players that's necessarily going to keep going in and out the lineup
accountability.
Every time you look up. He's literally putting accountability on the players because he knows the Miami Heat culture, yes, they have stars, but if you look at the most of their players – they're all role players that just play hard. If you play hard, you're going to win more games than you lose games. And that's really what it boils down to. And they had a disappointing season this year. But if you look at players that was playing hard on the team, look at their rookie, Jaime, from UCLA. Mm-hmm. If he didn't blow his hip, he was playing hard, mm-hmm. balling. I forgot the other kid named, Nicole, or mm-hmm. he was balling out of control. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the people was literally responding.
Spoelstra's getting the effort.
Yeah, out of them, because when it comes down to it, if you have players that can take coaching, you will be okay. How you think, I'm just going to go back into the old days, how the hell you think Pop got all the performance out of all his teams?
Yeah.
Because he literally said Tim Duncan was coachable, Tony was coachable, and Manu Ginobili. Nowadays, some players, and excuse my French, head is so far up their ass that they're not coachable.
Yeah,
they're more concerned with what they're wearing at the post game press conference than how their box score looks at the post game press conference.
They're more concerned about the money than actually getting these rings.
So here's the crazy thing about it though, like because if you go, I've been watching basketball for over almost 30 years now, probably longer than that, and I remember going to Staples when Kobe was there, and I remember, I mean, and Jeff, you were a season ticket holder. So you were there too. And you know the thing that always fascinated me was when there was a timeout, Phil Jackson never spoke to his team. Literally. If it was 1 minute, Phil would walk over there the last 5 seconds, mm-hmm. say literally 3 words, and then they go back out. The players literally talked amongst themselves the whole time out. And Phil
would sit with his assistant coaches, Kurt Rambis, Clemens, you name it.
It would be like a huddle over here with the players, a huddle over here with the coaches, and then literally it would be like play 3-4-5 or whatever, and then they would go out there and do
it. But you got to think back then, too, they practiced more.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But my point is they knew what to do, right? Mm-hmm. So until Phil Jackson, when you interviewed, he said, listen, timeouts is for them to take a breath and catch and win.
Quote.
They know what to do.
Quote.
You know what I mean? And so when you say you don't know what you're doing out there, you are intentionally trying to throw your coach under the bus.
For
and
sure.
That is very unfair for you to be doing.
Yeah.
Now, do I think Darvin Ham was a great coach? No, I don't. I mean, because one thing about Phil Jackson, you know, and when I watched the Lakers and when Phil Jackson was coaching, because I watched the Lakers, I knew what play they were running. I never knew what play that they were running, you know, with Darvin Ham was there.
I feel like Darvin Ham took the same wrong time, road. He took the wrong road. Like, I feel like a team like the Detroit Pistons.
Oh, too bright. Well, yeah. The lights are way too bright.
It's too for any rookie coach. Like even when Frank Vogel was there, I feel like he should have been there longer. Y'all fired his ass in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And his I knew defensive wise how y'all was gonna lock people down, because Frank is a more defensive minded coach. But shit, it didn't work out fine.
But see, look, I think Jason Kidd was the real reason why we was in the bubble, because I think once he lost Jason Kidd, kind of was their downfall. Mm-hmm. But I also feel that's when LeBron was like, okay, I'm cool and Vogel. I'm going to figure out how to get rid of him. You know what I mean? I think he really did. Once he decides, look.
Do you think he's been upset the whole time that Kid got away?
I think so, because
and
I think
Lou,
that's
Kid or Lou.
That's when things pretty much kind of have changed. I mean, he didn't like Black. You know when he was over there in Cleveland, it was very apparent, and I feel like he was like, hey, I'm going to get you to be the head coach, you know. Because Black wasn't doing a bad job, per se, but LeBron didn't like him. So he's gotten rid of more coaches than he has rings. Man, it's pretty
glaring. You know, again, we'll say, we've talked about this in the pre-show, yes. Everyone can say, oh, you know, LeBron's, you know, he's a coach killer. Okay, yes. Compared to other players, there's no question. He's hit different teams, and on most of those teams, with exception to Miami, those coaches are all gone. However, before LeBron got there, if I recall correctly, Lakers went through like 5 coaches in 6 years. So this isn't a new issue for the Lakers as a whole. This is a post-Jerry Bust issue of finding a new identity for the team that Bust always had a vision, and the vision's gone.
I just think that vision thing really blew up after Phil and Pat Riley a little bit.
Because
during the old days, it was really Pat Riley was holding the ship, and then Phil, you know, Phil came in a little bit. And then during the Phil run, it was just Phil, mostly all the way probably up to damn near when Kobe. And then once all that start going to the wayside, it became a revolving door of coaches.
Right.
But I would say, yeah, but I think it's more under the microscope now, because you have an organization that's going through coaches, you have a player that's actually tearing down coaches. Once it's combined, it's like this is a fucking madhouse of coaches. It just makes it makes the fire a little bit hotter.
Who do you want to blame?
So my biggest complaint about the Lakers was the same complaint that I had with USC, is that they kind of stuck with their own, right? It was somebody internally that they knew that they wanted, and they were kind of depending on them to right the ship. Like, so if you look at, like, Luke Walton, he was a Laker. Byron Scott was a Laker.
Oh, yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and, you know, they got Mike Brown, you know.
Mike wasn't
bad. That was something that they tried, but, you know, but they really, like, 3 of the 4 coaches actually were, like, an internal, like, oh, yeah, you're a Laker through and through. Let's try to get you out here. So they didn't really Darvin Ham really was the first, well, Vogel, I guess, was the first one that kind of went outside of
they, look, the again, realm. It all, to me, just falls right in line with trying to find a new identity for the team, or grasping at an old identity that no longer exists once Dr. Jerry Buss passed away. That is just impossible shoes to fill. We can't even expect Jeannie Buss to fill them, but she's doing her best. But they're really trying to find that. She has always had that role model, and it's been a male figure, Jerry Buss. Then it was Phil Jackson. She even romantically, you know, was involved with Phil. And there's no way you can see how close, and in no way am I saying there's any romantic anything between LeBron and Jeannie, but they're very close. She's drawn to that. That's supportive to her. She hasn't gotten that feeling with any of these coaches.
Yeah, look, I don't know what they should do. I think
pray.
I mean, I think
there's just not a lot of great coach candidates. No, just
pray. So the problem is from a Jeannie Buss perspective, I think Jeannie really, really wants to handle the business part of Lakers and be able to handle the player personnel or with somebody else, to have put somebody else in charge to be able to handle that. The problem with that is, though, is that she can't find that right person that could be able to right the ship.
So who y'all
maybe
gonna,
it would be Pat Riley. Maybe she should offer.
You got what? Kenny. Yeah, Kenny Atkins out there. You got Budenholzer.
Who's going to make? Is she going to make the call to?
I'm just saying.
Interview.
I'm just throwing names on the floor.
There's people out there, but there's no. There is no. Maybe we may never see it again. Who knows? Hopefully, we will. I think we will, but. But you know, you thought you'd never see a Jordan or a Kobe, and now we got Ant-Man. But, you know, they're out there right now, there are no more Popoviches. There are no Phils. There are no Jerry Sloans. There are no just, oh, I know I can get this coach, put him in, and I know we're a lock for at least a fifth or a fourth seed. We're going to get, man, we know that nobody's out there.
It's the same thing we talking about. The Clipper fans are talking about getting rid of Ty Lue.
Who took for what?
There's no coach that you're going to find out there that can even get close to what he did. With all the
need to get rid of Kawhi.
With all the catastrophe,
we need to move on.
Like I said, I said this before, right? Nobody should have got a contract extension until we got to the end of the playoffs. Straight up, like nobody should have got nothing. Only person should have got a contract extension is the coach, and because that don't really hurt your salary cap. After that, we could have figured out, right? Because I know it's gonna be mutual interest from James Harden, because shit, nobody else wants him. Right, Kawhi. Anybody can say this, right? Everybody can say, oh, we'll take Kawhi, but are you going to take Kawhi baggage, right? His own medical team, when he want to sit out, his availability. It's not too easy to take
as a Clipper
that.
Fan, if it's a Clipper fan, would you do it again?
With Kawhi?
Yeah.
Hell no, I want SGA.
That's right.
I've been, if you know Beav, if you've been following me, mm-hmm. I've been a big fan of SGA when we first drafted. I said, that kid is special. You know how people say they have bromances? That's what I had with SGA, because I said that boy finna be special. And you know how he was going to be special? Because he was learning. I know you might call me crazy. He learned under two veterans that actually gave him two perspectives of the game, which was Lou Will and Pat Bev. Pat Bev is, you probably can say Pat Bev is not a good basketball player.
We gotta talk about Pat Bev.
Yeah, we do. You can say he's not a good basketball player, right? But he has that dog in
him.
He's
the antagonist.
Bingo. And then you have the smooth, cool, I'm gonna drop 40 or 50 on you, Lou Will. Them two combined in one player that can actually play damn near 6'7", moving fluent. Come on, man. Look what he doing. Come on. I cry every night because he should be a Clipper.
So you should hear your
y'all got PG
Clippers Midwest.
Fuck no.
Yeah. No. That's we can get to that.
Y'all got. Hey, did you hear Pat Bev? You brought him up. Did you hear about how he got banned from ESPN?
No, it's not true.
That is not true.
Well, it's not true. He didn't get banned. Well, but he got a follow out of me though.
You're like, I follow the podcast just so I get that.
I follow. You're
like, you know, I'm in those locker rooms and I don't want to be called out like that.
Man, what?
Would you do? I'd lie. Just like, yeah, of course.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, of course. Real quick on your phone.
Hey, I follow the Twitter. Because he can't find you on Twitter. We're going to say, let me see your Twitter.
Yeah,
I follow you. You don't follow me back.
Yeah.
All right, that's how I'll spin it. I follow you and follow me back.
That would be great.
You know what? Here's the thing,
though. You ain't got no question for me? No, man. You follow me on Twitter? No? I ain't got no question for you.
Here's my question about that. I hope I'm, you know, ain't going to get canceled or anything. I mean, I watched what he did and what he said to her, and I understand that she's a female. There's a certain level of respect that men should have for women and all that type of stuff. But I feel it was more about, if I was standing over there and I said I didn't follow, he probably would have did the same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
They treated me the same exact way.
So
100%.
I don't feel that
it wasn't sexist.
Listen, when LeVar Ball turned his back on I can't think of her name right now.
Oh, he says stay in your lane.
And told her to stay in your lane.
Yeah, Taylor.
And he was refusing to even
acknowledge her.
That's disrespectful. But what he did to me really was just kind of like a little bit of showmanship.
It was on her show, too.
It was on her show. So when he kind of did that, it was kind of like a little bit just like showmanship. And I understand that, you know, that we should, I mean, the sensitivity behind it, but I feel like he didn't disrespect
a journalist.
Yeah, period. Right. Yeah,
and journalists get disrespected all the time.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, like,
we know.
They said this before. They actually showed clips for it on a Pat McAfee show. They showed that all season long, that was his angle. Like, it didn't matter if he didn't end of the game. Before he started the interview, he said, hey, did you follow my podcast? If people didn't follow, he said, well, no questions tonight. When he came down there to the Clippers, we didn't go in the locker room, but, you know, Dame and Young, we didn't talk to him, but probably
same shit.
But I will say this, though. He does speak to you. Like, he was going to chapel and shit. We said, we say, what's up, Pat Bev? He didn't even ask us, like, dude, for my podcast. He was going to chapel. He said, hey, man, good. What's up, man? How y'all doing? He spoke, but that was his angle the whole time. So a lot of people tell me, like, B, I'm with you, Mike. They're like, B, that's fucked up. But shit, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not in the room, I seen worse than that.
Yeah.
Like, telling her put the microphone down, I seen worse than that. Yeah. I seen coaches make a person feel stupid.
Yeah. Like come go out on. Of their way to do it. Yeah.
Well, he'd be like, just like, you ask a question.
You ask a question.
He's like, what you, so what you think I should be doing?
Yeah.
Like, you feel I should, what do you think you should do? I'm like, oh, shit. Like, damn.
Yeah,
it happens.
It's crazy.
I got nothing against that, guys. You know, Beav, you've been here.
And you don't even like Pat Bev.
No, I don't like the. You know what? I don't like the way. Yeah, I think he goes a little too far. I don't mind the antagonist as a player. I think they have a role, but I think he goes a little too far and takes it past I'm an antagonist basketball player to I'm an antagonist, make it personal against you. And he'll even take it out in the media and the press I'm coming after him. And I don't like, and you know, and if that's the part. Just keep it on the. And I respect anyone who keeps it on the court. Once you get out and you start calling people, it's just, dude, what are you, Drake and Kendrick? Come on, let's keep it going. Okay.
They not like
Kendrick
us.
One.
Hey, you know, because you've been here a few times, that we finish every single show here with a segment we call Money Mike's Out of Bounds.
Hey,
Money Mike is going to share his thoughts or opinions on a topic. It's real simple, Beav. He just wants to know if those thoughts or opinions are in bounds or out of bounds. Money Mike?
Hey, so look, got this the is a special one. When I heard Beav was going to be on the show, I said, hey, this is definitely going to be one for Beav, because I understand, you know, that both of us, both the Lakers and the Clippers, are, you know, pretty much in the same place, right?
Mm-hmm. We
know what it feels like to win a championship, and I've always felt like if we don't win a championship, it don't matter when we get eliminated. You know what I mean? And my guy, Beav, over here, man, he was giving us a whole lot of stuff about how Lakers got eliminated. You know what I mean? So I feel that Clippers are the same place that we are right now. So am I out of bounds to say that, hey, man, you cool with being eliminated because you got eliminated after us? Because I say it don't matter it took you guys a couple more games to get eliminated. Am I out of bounds? The same that it doesn't matter because you're the same place that we are.
You want me to
yeah, you go.
Okay, I was going to say really quick. Just I'm not going to say whether you're inbounds or out of bounds. However, I will say that I've worked with Beav a lot, and he's always this year as a Clipper, he's been pretty realistic.
So you defend it.
I'm just saying he's been pretty realistic with the team.
Not for real.
So for that, I'm going to say that he hasn't been the standard. Oh my God, we're the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to win it. He's been very realistic. I got to see it but go. So defending just that.
I would say you're out of bounds, and this is the
why. Okay, I got
this is the reason being, right?
We the same place you are.
We are, but you got there first, and I got there second.
So what does it matter?
It matters a lot because you were sitting there watching me still play. Regardless, I still had a game to go. But the whole
so scheduling.
No, it doesn't matter. You still had to watch me, right? The cameras on me. I don't care if I blew the fucking lead. You gotta watch me get my ass.
Dude, moved. They were on the plane to Cancun already.
It's okay. Hey, pull it up in Cancun, right? The whole point of matter is that, you know, as Laker fans, me being a realist, sometimes Lakers can be doing good. They can be doing bad, but the Clippers can do whatever, and they just pinpoint on it, right? And like Jeff said, all season long, I usually say, hey, this was my model all season long. I don't know what version I'm going to get. I'm going to see the version I'm going to get tonight. And it didn't matter what the Clippers did. You kept hearing chatter, chatter, chatter from the Lakers. So what I did that night, and if anybody knows, if you follow me on IG, I took the torch, right, and I turned the volume up as high as I can. I had Lakers fans fucking frizzled in their head. I mean, circus breaking. They was ready to jump off the ledge, and I was the person right behind them pushing them. Because of the simple fact, order had to be maintained, right? You're in the shitter. I'm in the shitter. But your shit, since you always walk around like it don't stink, it really stinks. It's old. It's pitiful. You got a coach with a knot in his head. He probably had another knot after they jumped him in the locker room.
Knot now.
It was crazy, right? And then when you look at the Clippers, right, I knew I was in the shitter. Why? Because of Kawhi, that's why, right? And then I knew James Harden hype, I was going to get a shit game. I didn't know I was going to get two back-to-back. And then PG, I don't know, Podcast P, Playoff P, he mentally checked out on me after he had a big game. So I knew where I was heading, right? And I'm not saying like, oh, you're used to losing and stuff like that. No, I just knew the narrative was coming, crashing down in a heartbeat.
So he took advantage while he could.
I jumped ahead of the curve and bullied y'all. You know how the bullies bully people? I bullied you so bad, even you didn't know what to do. You were sitting there looking at my story like, this mother. I had the mic going. I had all the memes. And you was like, you was firing them back to back. And I'm gonna tell you.
So you really feel better because it's because of scheduling.
Yeah, and the cool part is though, we lost, and my bags was already packed, and I was in Inglewood, so that even made it more fun. Because now I'm just throwing tomatoes at. You know how people live Airbnbs fucked up. That's what I did to crypto before I left. I fucked it up and just left.
I left a big dookie in the toilet.
You didn't flush it.
Didn't flush it. Come back next season, buddy.
Clean it up, man. Exactly.
You didn't want your deposit back.
That's it. Fuck that deposit. Want it back. I'm tired of this place.
That's it. And again, guys, the Lakers.
Hey, wait a minute.
No, I'm not done. I was just going to say, and again, the Lakers and Clippers demise in there has helped with the sparks. But go.
No, I'm asking you, am I the bounds? Because you were defending him.
Yeah, the bounds.
I'm in bounds, right? You're a Laker fan. It don't matter if we did
something. Oh, yeah, it don't matter. No, you're in bounds. Yeah. This whole schedule thing, that's petty. Come on.
Oh, we literally have a person here at Infinity TV has his own culture vulture segment called Petty. I took the upper road from Petty. Mm-hmm. He put slides out. I took the higher road. Hey, I see Petty.
You saw Petty.
But hey, Petty couldn't get to me fast enough.
He did Clipper Darryl too.
I hit him up and said, next time put me in the exit row. Put me in the exit view. But I jumped the curve before Lakers fans do it. And Lakers fans never seen a Clipper fan like me, baby. Hey, come on. I'm more realistic than my boy Clipper Dale, right? I'm more realistic and way more quick on the memes.
Yeah.
Way more quick. I'll make you hate yourself, baby.
Yeah, well you have to watch your back with you. Clipper Dale, you see him coming a mile away. All right, guys. So Profanity Nation Podcast, as you know, every single Wednesday morning, 8 a.m. on InfinityTV.com. Hey, it's off season for the Lakers and Clippers. Kinda. It's never really off season, so you know where to find the news. You know where to find the NBA updates. You know where to find Sparks updates, everything that's going on. From my guy Money Mike, from my guy Leave It to Beave, Simsta, we out.
Peace.